Time for another edition of What's Good. We're talking about bats and some of the health risks associated with exposure to bats. We have Dr. Lena Lee, Deputy Medical Officer of Health for the Southeast Health Unit, and Andrew Dunn, Senior Public Health Inspector at the Health Unit. Welcome to both of you. Thank you for being here.
It's great to
Always a
be here.
pleasure.
Thank you.
Dr. Lee, we'll start with you. And why is public health concerned about bats?
Well, I think it may not come as a surprise to people that really what we are concerned about from a public health perspective is the risk of infectious diseases that come from bats. And they do have the potential of carrying a few of them. People are probably super familiar, hopefully familiar with rabies, and that's the one that we're most concerned about. There is some concern about histoplasmosis as well being transmitted from bats to humans, but certainly, rabies is our greatest concern. And then, of course, keeping in mind that bats can also transmit distemper and mange to household pets, which isn't a concern for humans, but certainly is a concern for the household as well. We are aware in our region that bats do carry rabies. The estimate at this point is about 3%. Now, that is a very sort of very much an estimate of the numbers, but we know that it's certainly a risk. And as people may know, rabies is a disease that's caused by a virus that attacks the central nervous system and is found in the saliva of infected animals, and it can be fatal if it's not treated or prevented after exposure to an animal. And in general, for bats, the most common signs are an inability to fly or resting in sort of strange or unusual places, such as the ground or the floor, rather than being perched, for example. In terms of histoplasmosis, just really briefly about that is caused by a fungus. It grows in the soil. And that's been contaminated by bat or bird droppings, and exposure to that fungus can happen when the soil is disturbed. It's a disease that primarily affects the lungs, and can also be quite serious as well. So if you're cleaning up an area where there are bat or bird droppings, especially in attics or other enclosed spaces, it's really important to wear protective gear. So, a mask, gloves, keeping dust to a minimum. So, not spraying, but wiping is really important. And keeping in mind as well that bats, in general, that are in the homes are healthy, right? Like it's the majority of the time they've just gotten lost and a little bit turned around and need help getting out. But there are some risks to health to keep in mind.
Andrew, are we encountering bats more often or earlier this year?
No, not really. This time of year, it's summer. It's warming up. All animals, mammals are out and about. So we aren't really encountering them more or earlier. This is as with other years, the health unit usually puts out some education this time of year about bats because obviously it's the time of year that we do start to see them. We have started to get calls from people who have encountered bats typically in their home. So we just like to get out and get the message out that bats are out there. If you see them, it's more than likely they're just a healthy bat. There are times and situations where we might want to follow up more with a bat encounter, and Dr. Lee will talk about that momentarily. But they aren't an exotic beast. They're not anything to be afraid of. But we do see them out and about. We just want people to be aware of them and to be aware of what to do if they have an unusual encounter with one. Certainly them just flying around outside and for the most part inside, if they are in fact flying around, is going to be not a health risk situation. It's July. We've already had them out and about, but juveniles start to leave the nest this time of year, so we do tend to get more out and about this time of year.
I find it interesting too that when we see the bats out and about, and we see them often in our area too, they're actually kind of providing a service for us, aren't they, Andrew?
Oh, they are indeed. They are incredibly important from an ecological standpoint, member of the ecosystem, and insect control. They each bat consumes about 3 times their weight in insects each night. They tend to come out at dusk, and they feed primarily for about 3 hours after dusk. So they're a protected species. We can't just go out and exterminate them. They're important and they're protected.
Dr. Lee, every species has its role, right?
Absolutely. And lots of what we do in public health is trying to figure out, everything from mosquitoes to ticks to bats to, many other animals. It's important that we live in harmony with each other, but also important to protect our own health risks in relation to that.
Absolutely. So, on that note, what should we know about bat encounters?
Yeah, so if the bat, and sometimes, like we were saying earlier, the vast majority of the time, if there's a bat around, it is a healthy bat that's doing its own bat thing. But occasionally it may be carrying rabies, in which case that is a risk of exposure to people if there are a few conditions or things that are happening. So one is if there has been direct contact with a bat. So really the bat touching or landing on a person. It doesn't have to be specifically a bite, because oftentimes little bat claws can inadvertently be sort of contaminated with rabies as well. If the bat has been grooming, its claws may have touched saliva, and the saliva is where the rabies is. So a bite or a scratch or a saliva exposure on a wound or mucous membrane for a person is where the risk lies. If you get saliva from a bat on your eyes, nose, mouth, or a wound, or sometimes you can't necessarily tell for a bat because their claws are really small. It may not be a visible wound, but just being touched by the bat. The single most important thing you can do is actually to wash that area thoroughly with soap and water. That is the single most effective way to prevent all sorts of, because we talked about histoplasmosis as well, and there are other things that you may want to prevent just in terms of exposure to the environment for a wound, right? So washing with soap and water is really important, and getting medical attention right away. So if you're able to sort of keep the bat, if the bat is hasn't flown off or something, then the health unit can sometimes get it tested for rabies or make arrangements to that end. So let us know about that. If you have a primary care provider, then go see your primary care provider about rabies prophylaxis and to do a risk assessment. So not every single exposure or question about a bat exposure would lead to rabies post-exposure prophylaxis, but it's important to get that assessment. If you have questions, either or you don't have a primary care provider, you can also contact us at the health unit directly as well. The other thing that I'll mention is for kids, a bat that lands on the kid, including a contact through clothes, that's also something that needs assessment by a healthcare provider. Definitely, when it comes to bat exposures, having a low threshold for just checking in with a healthcare provider and asking some questions, seeing whether a risk assessment means that post-exposure prophylaxis needs to be given, those are really, really important.
Okay, Andrew, can you tell us how we can reduce the risk of having bats enter our homes?
Sure. First of all, bats are they're very small. When they want to get into a small space, they can very easily do so. So bats can get into what seems like even the most secure homes. So if you are getting bats in your home, then it's typically beyond the average house owner to figure out how they're getting in, and even more beyond the typical house owner to find out how to get them out. So if you are getting bats in your home, it's really advisable to contact an expert, pest control, or there's more and more animal wildlife control experts out there too. They really are the experts in bat proofing a home. Remember, it's not just a simple case of exterminating. It's typically exclusion. We don't exterminate. The bigger issue is getting them out of the home and creating a situation where they can't get back in. Having said that, if you do find a bat in your home, what do you do about it then? If a bat's in your home, it more than likely wants to get back out again. So if you have a door or window that you can open, you can try to get it out that way. Sometimes they don't want to leave that way, and sometimes you have to handle them to get them out or shoo them out. If you're ever in a position where you're going to try to do that, make sure you cover up, wear a coat, something protects your upper body and arms and sleeves just in case it so it can't scratch or bite you. And if you have to handle it, make sure you wear a good pair of thick gloves to get them back outside. You don't want to risk them biting you or scratching you when you're trying to handle them.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Lee, you mentioned the pets earlier, but a very important reminder when it comes to a certain vaccine.
Yeah, so rabies can indeed affect pets, and so it's really important to protect your pet from rabies, and in turn also protect yourself from rabies, from potential exposure from a pet. Just as a reminder, rabies vaccination is mandatory in Ontario for domestic cats and dogs. And so it is very important to check with your vet to know how to keep your pet safe, and then also the frequency with which you need to get rabies vaccine. Rabies vaccine for pets is not a one and done. They do need periodic vaccines, and the interval will depend on the specific.
Oh, it would appear we've lost Dr. Lee.
No,
So
I will.
you'll pick up
I
that.
think you've still got me. I think her message came through loud and clear that it is a legal response requirement in Ontario, and it's one of the ways in which we have gotten rabies to a manageable level. But it's not something we want to stop doing. So it is very important. I might also add that we do speak to a lot of people who have purely indoor cats or dogs. They might just go out quickly in the backyard and then come inside, or there's some cats that never leave. People always say, "Well, why do I have to get my cat vaccinated if it's purely indoor?" As mentioned, we do get bats in our homes, and we have had numerous calls from people whose cats came merrily pouncing into the bedroom or living room with a dead bat in their mouth. So even though you think your cat's not going to encounter a wild animal, indoors it can still happen. So it's still important to get your pet vaccinated, even if it's a purely indoor pet.
Now, just quickly, Andrew, if anyone would like to get some more information, there's a few places you can go.
Absolutely. Probably the best place you can go, and we have a myriad of information and links on it, would be just to our health unit, which is I think we mention it every time on here, www.healthunit.org. Once you go on there, you get a list of all the services and topics that we have here. One of them is rabies, so you can check on there. Once on there, we have a myriad of resources ranging from just all about bats to bat proofing, bat conservation, if you're interested in reading about that. Like I say, lots of information.
Andrew, thank you so much for this. And next time you see Dr. Lee, thank her on our behalf.
I
We
think
certainly
thank
will.
you.
Oh,
I think I
you're
should
back.
go. Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Okay.
And also, yes, you're always a pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Dr. Lee and Andrew Dunn. That's another edition. Thank you so much for joining us on What's Good.